From the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large for Friday, February 14th, 2014. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice.
Ahead on Ozarks, Michael Tilley from thecitywire.com helps us keep up with the moving pieces in the puzzle that is the 2014 Arkansas election.
First, changes to the state's private option Medicaid expansion are making their way through the Arkansas legislature. Yesterday, the Joint Budget Committee approved new language in the program's fiscal appropriations bill. The amendments involve the state seeking federal approval for establishing health savings accounts, which increase the number of adults who must share health costs. It also involves tweaking how much non-emergency transportation will be provided to people enrolled in the private option. At the meeting, State Representative John Burris said there would be a hard deadline for attaining approval.
You could consider we will have input beginning in August, and then a final submission in September. And then again, if there's no approval by December, according to all of the terms and conditions in law, the drawdown begins with an absolute cutoff date of February 1st.
Burris says he's confident the federal government will support the plans, but says the private option will end if they aren't approved. While questioning Burris, State Representative Hank Wilkins explored the possibility of Arkansas not getting the federal waivers, leaving the legislature with a big problem.
Don't you think that a March 1 date would be better than a February 1 date?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on your perspective.
In terms of the legislature having time to really address the issue. I mean, you know, 2 weeks.
Yeah. Now, I think the, you know, my intent of this, and I think the legislature's intent, was to create a situation where there was an incentive for the federal government to agree with us.
The Joint Budget Committee also gave approval for State Representative Nate Bell's plan to block funding for efforts to promote and advertise the private option and federal health insurance marketplace in Arkansas. The private option appropriations bill now goes to the full House and Senate, where they require a 3/4 majority vote for passage.
The proposed amendments to Arkansas's private option are largely aimed at garnering more support for the legislation, which has lost key support in recent weeks. Legislators are trying to avoid a projected $89 million budget shortfall that would surface without the private option. Speaking after an event in North Little Rock and after the amendments passed out of committee yesterday, Governor Mike Beebe was optimistic.
Anytime you got to get 75%, it's it's a high bar. But we did it before, and we'll struggle and fight and claw and persuade to do it again.
While the governor says he doesn't find the amendments ideal, he says it's important to be willing to compromise with others. At this time, obtaining support in the Senate poses the biggest hurdle for reaching the 3/4 vote needed to reauthorize funding for the private option. Just 9 senators can override the bill.
As we mentioned yesterday, Congressman Tim Griffin has jumped into the crowded race for lieutenant governor. Griffin says the lieutenant governor's position is ideal because the duties of the office are limited to leading the state Senate when it is in session and serving as acting governor when the governor is out of state. Congressman Griffin says his experience in Washington as a 2-term representative of the 2nd District and as an advisor to President George W. Bush would serve him well in Arkansas.
Governor Beebe has proclaimed all flags are to fly at half-staff tomorrow in honor of Jake Harrell. The Arkansas Forestry Commission pilot was found dead earlier this week after a week-and-a-half-long search found his crashed plane. His plane went missing when a winter storm encroached on the routine fire detection route on which he was flying.
Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art has acquired a new work by renowned artist Jeff Koons. The installation, titled Hanging Heart, is a 9.5-foot-wide bright gold heart made out of chromium mirror-polished stainless steel, and it is one of 5 similar yet unique versions of the sculpture. The giant heart of steel weighs 3,000 pounds and is suspended from the ceiling of the bridge building that is home to 11, the restaurant at Crystal Bridges. This particular sculpture was the only one retained by Koons until acquired by Crystal Bridges last year. Koons is known for continuing the pop art tradition that was originally made popular by Andy Warhol.
The Arkansas women's basketball team gained a commanding victory at home last night. The Razorbacks defeated the Alabama Crimson Tide 75-55. Arkansas's point tally, a season high. The win makes Arkansas 17-8 on the season, 4-8 in conference play. They'll return to Bud Walton Arena next Thursday when they host Vanderbilt.
And the University of Arkansas softball team opened its 2014 home schedule yesterday. Arkansas swept its two-game home opener with an 8-0 win over Jackson State and an 8-1 win over Butler. The pair of wins put the softball team at 4-3 so far this year. The softball Razorbacks play today as they host St. John's in day two of the Arkansas Invitational.
Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 21 in northwest Arkansas, upper 20s for the Arkansas River Valley. Sunshine tomorrow, highs in the mid to upper 50s. And for Saturday night, partly cloudy, lows from 31 to 36. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael, happy Valentine's Day.
Well, and to you as well.
Let's get right into what has been not just a busy week when it comes to politics and business in Arkansas, but a busy 48 hours. Let's start with what is a rotating roster of Arkansas statewide political candidates.
Well, and it is a rotating roster, and it reminds me of a cartoon I have, and it shows a journalist. He's throwing a dart at a board, and on the board are just these different story topics. And that the caption of the cartoon is, "Today I'm an expert in," and it's whatever, you know, topic his dart hits. Well, he could do the same thing, just put a candidate's name up on a board and throw a dart at it and say, "Today he's going to be lieutenant governor, and tomorrow he's going to announce for this." I mean, it's just, it's all over the map. But we've got Tim Griffin, he's still congressman, but he's not going to run for Congress for the 2nd District of Arkansas there in central Arkansas, has announced he's going to instead run for lieutenant governor. Now, he got out of Congress to, he said, spend more time with his family, and these guys can make more money in the private sector than serving in Congress. But he shook that up, and that impacts Northwest Arkansas and the whole dynamic, the Republican-Democrat dynamic in the legislature, because Charlie Collins, a Republican from Fayetteville, how many times can you say a Republican from Fayetteville, but anyway, he is going to run again for that House seat instead of run for lieutenant governor. So, and he's considered strong in that House seat. So it's just, you know, and again, maybe next Friday, we'll be talking about some other weird shift in the race.
Well, and then Deborah Hobbs, who was seeking the GOP nomination for governor, now is joining the lieutenant governor's race for the GOP nomination.
And you got to wonder if she's wondering, was that a smart, you know, because that was similar timing. And I don't know if she knew, she had to know Griffin was getting in that lieutenant governor's race. But Griffin's going to be strong. It's likely going to come down between Griffin and the Republican side and Mr. Burkhalter, the Democrat. That's going to be, it's going to be an interesting race. I mean, two relatively well-known people.
Well-financed as well.
Yes. Oh, yes, very much so.
Receipts for Northwest Arkansas hotels and restaurants from last year up.
Yes, and it's not a surprise. I mean, and it's a solid 6% across the board in just the fourth quarter receipts, which we'd like to look at the fourth quarter receipts because that's, you know, last I checked, they're still playing football in Northwest Arkansas, so that's when the Razorbacks play. But between Fayetteville, Rogers, Springdale, and Bentonville, a little over $1.3 million collected in hotel and food taxes. Overall, the numbers were strong. In Bentonville for the year, up over 11%. In Springdale, 8.5%. Fayetteville was up 4.4%. Rogers is up over 2.2%, but just good numbers across the board. And between, you know, Razorbacks and the travel, the business travel from Walmart and Tyson and J.B. Hunt, it's not a surprise. And then you throw in that little operation up there called Crystal Bridges, and it's even more not of a surprise.
Finally, Board of Directors in Fort Smith heard from a lawyer who says, you know what, the city might be able to levy some fines against Whirlpool.
Yeah, this is just, this just comes out of a weird left field. you know, we have an attorney from, like I said, Illinois, who says maybe we can fine Whirlpool for littering, you know, and go back and penalize them that way. You know, and I, don't get me wrong, I don't want to be seen as defending Whirlpool, but this just doesn't. It hasn't yet passed our smell test. I mean, first of all, you know, she's wanting the city's permission. You know, this anybody can sue anybody. I don't know why she needs Fort Smith's permission. There are issues with statute of limitations. There are issues with who can legally litigate on behalf of the city. So we'll see where this goes. The board seemed skeptical during the phone call, the conference call they had with her, but we'll see what they ultimately decide. I know there are some board members who say, look, we're not, it's not going to cost us anything. Why not let this lawyer go after them? But there are some messages it can send in terms of, you know, how the city is perceived by the business community. Some are concerned that this could, you know, just upset Whirlpool, and Whirlpool says, okay, screw it. We're not even going to market the building. We're just going to let the building, you know, fall in on itself. So this is, you know, this whole Whirlpool story has just been one weird swing after the next, so we shouldn't be surprised that this is the latest chapter.
And unfortunately, it's one that doesn't seem that it will go away anytime soon at all.
Right. Well, and, you know, and we're going to be reporting on Whirlpool and what they're doing to mitigate this pollution for many years. So that's definitely not going away.
Well, that's how we'll end our Valentine's Day edition.
Dirty water.
That's right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire that covers politics, business, culture, and much more for the entire region. Michael, thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome.
In about 14 minutes on Ozarks, additions to the opportunities at the University of Arkansas Fort Smith.
We put together a proposal telling him the need in the state, in the region, and actually on a national level for technicians who can maintain and program robots for business purposes.
New degrees coming to UAFS ahead on Ozarks at Large.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night, beginning at 10 p.m. This Friday is the Valentine's Day edition of Shades of Jazz, and I will present romantic music of all ilks. Lost love, found love, elusive love. We'll hear from Kurt Elling, Diane Schur, Bobby McFerrin, Chiara Civillo, and even Van Morrison and Georgie fame. Tune in this Friday at 10 p.m. for the Valentine's Day edition of Shades of Jazz.
It is Friday, February 14th, 2014, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Becca Martin-Brown, features editor, Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Panic, 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 danger, Will Robinson, panic, panic. It's Valentine's Day.
I'm like, why are we panicking? Let's not panic.
No, we're panicking because it's Valentine's Day, and if you haven't done anything yet, you are in a deep pile of dead leaves.
There's still time left in the day.
As a matter of fact, there is.
And the weekend, if you want to do that.
As a matter of fact, there is. And we had some great last-minute ideas in today's What's Up, so I want to share some of them with our listeners.
They will be most appreciative.
I think they will. And many of these are cheap.
Even more appreciative.
Okay, one of them is walk the walk. Take your sweetheart and find his or her name or his or her parents' name or your name on the senior walk at the university.
Oh.
It's free. You don't have to plan it, so it doesn't look like you didn't have a plan. And you can go to Ellis on campus and have breakfast from 7 to 11 on Saturday and Sunday, mm-hmm. lunch from 11 to 2 on Saturday, and brunch from 11 to 2 on Sunday. How's that for clever?
Very clever.
And you can go online to the University of Arkansas alumni website and find where that year would be mm-hmm. so you can take your person there.
Okay.
This one is really cool. at three times on Saturday, 11, 1, and 3, the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History is offering special tours of the Searcy House.
Which, remind me, which one's the Searcy House?
It's the 50s house that's next door to the museum.
Okay, yes.
They're going to be guided by April Griffith, who is assistant librarian, and she will read selections from Annabelle Applegate's letters to Lockwood Searcy in 1918.
Oh.
They were in their 20s, and they got married in the summer of 1919, and he was in the military in World War I. Very sweet. And here's how you can pass this off as something you planned forever.
Yes.
These tours came into existence just for us.
Oh.
They are especially for KUAF listeners and What's Up readers.
Okay.
So they didn't exist until this very moment.
Okay.
Champagne and chocolate.
Yes, I heard about this. It sounds like...
At Heartwood Gallery?
Mm-hmm,
yes.
Delicious.
From 4 to 8 today, there's live music, there's champagne and chocolate, and you can buy the gift there.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch what she's looking at. This is a plan.
It's a good plan.
And the last one is Ride the Sky. They are doing helicopter tours over the Fayetteville Square.
That's fun.
Arkansas Helicopter. You leave from the Springdale Municipal Airport, and let's see. It is $100 for a shorter version and $200 for a longer version.
Mm-hmm.
You can take as many as three passengers, but you can't exceed 550 pounds.
Okay.
So you and two of your thin friends. And you can call 365-3640 for reservations. And she might find out that you planned it on short notice, but as Kevin Kinder, our associate What's Up editor, says, she won't care. She'll be in a helicopter.
So lots of last-minute ideas for those of you needing it.
Or also this weekend, Bridge to Terabithia is on stage at Arts Live Theater in Fayetteville. 7 today, 2 and 7 tomorrow, and 2 on Sunday, and tickets are $6 to $8. Good People is on stage at Theater Squared. I'm a little worried about this being a happy show.
Oh, no.
You know, I'm not really sure
Is it billed as like a dramedy?
Yeah, a dramedy.
Okay.
About a lady named Margie she lives in South Boston. She's just been let go from another job. She's facing eviction. And she runs into an old fling.
Okay.
That she thinks might be her ticket out. It's a David Lindsay A. Bear Tony Award winner. 7:30 today and tomorrow, 2 and 7 Sunday. Tickets start at $10 at 443-5600. This show I'd love to see, Dixie Swim Club.
I'm not familiar with that one.
I wasn't either. It's a comedy by Jesse Jones, Nicholas Hope, and Jamie Wooten, who wrote for TV's Golden Girls.
Oh, fun.
It's about five women who were on their college swim team, and they get back together every year. And so the play spans like 40 years.
Okay.
It starts when they're in their 20s and ends when they're in their 70s.
Okay.
It's at Fort Smith Little Theater, and it's at 7:30 today and tomorrow and 2 o'clock Sunday and again next weekend, and tickets are $10. What a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Death Trap wraps up this weekend at the Art Center of the Ozarks. Really fun. Really fun. It's at 7:30 today and tomorrow, no Sunday matinee. $20 for adults at 751-5441. Or if you're interested in music, there is a hometown jam at 7 o'clock tomorrow at the Eureka Springs City Auditorium, the Midwinter Jam with the Aerials, Sarah Hughes, the Medicine Man Show, the Josh Jennings Band, SX Rex, Kevin Riddle, and Spring Billy. Tickets are $12. $12. And you can get them at the Chamber of Commerce Visitor Center or at the door.
Thank you, Becca, and happy Valentine's Day.
You too, my friend.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. Several times a year, a few scientists and researchers sit down in the back room at Powerhouse Seafood and Grill in Fayetteville to talk to people about their specialties. It's the University of Arkansas's sponsored Science Cafe. Tuesday night at 6:30, the next edition of the Science Cafe will use the topic of biotechnology in medicines and pharmaceuticals to launch a conversation. Three scientists will discuss cutting-edge research taking place at some of the smallest levels. The panel includes Dr. Robin Goforth, Chief Scientist Officer at Biologics MD Incorporated, Dr. Ralph Henry, Distinguished Professor, Institute for Nanosciences and Engineering, and Dr. Doug Rhodes, Professor in the University of Arkansas Department of Biological Sciences. Drs. Henry and Rhodes came to KUAF yesterday to offer a preview of Tuesday Night Science Cafe. Doug Rhodes gave an example of how current work in genomics is advancing medicine.
The easiest example I can think of is actually now a year and a half old of up in the north of here, up around the Great Lakes, because I can't remember exactly which state. There was a young boy that went into the hospital. He was in for maybe his 30th or 40th trip into the hospital for a bowel resection because he had a ulcerative colitis. His guts were just falling apart. Couldn't figure out what it was. They decided to do this whole genome sequencing and discovered that there was a mutation in a gene for a protein that had never been seen anywhere. It's a common disease, ulcerative colitis, but they'd never seen anything in this particular gene. But when they saw that it was that gene and they knew that gene made a protein that interacted with this other protein, and that was a common mutation for this, and they said, well, when we see that, we know this drug will work. Let's try that drug. Kid's never been back at the hospital. It's that sort of gee whiz, wow, rare mutations, we've never really been able to chase down the causes, and now with high-throughput sequencing, nothing's out of the reach.
Just to play on that a little bit, you're going to get to the point where you make that sort of diagnosis from a whole genome sequence, and technology's bringing us to the point where we go, well, we'll fix that by replacing that gene with gene therapy. So, I mean, the possibilities become pretty endless.
So from my point of view, I'm willing to talk to anybody about the genomic side of it, but why don't you give them a little input on where you're coming
from. Yeah. So with a lot of the genomics information, we're using a lot of that information to design proteins that may perform activities that mutated proteins will be performing in the body, i.e. they're not performing. So you have protein replacement therapies, enzyme therapies. We can even, and one of the things I'm involved in is you can even design proteins that are, they're very similar to products of your own immune system, but they're designed to bind toxins, for example, and clear toxins from your body. So, for example, we are, the company that I'm a part of, is our first product is a protein called an antibody that will bind methamphetamine. And so we would give this to patients when they leave behavioral therapy, because there's no medication right now, but assuming this gets approved, we would give these patients that want this medication our protein. It's an infusion so that the protein is in the bloodstream. It lasts, about half of it will be gone in a month from the time we give it. But the idea is that when you're trying to help an addict, one of the biggest helps you could give them is to prevent them from getting the high that they get, because that's what's reinforcing the addiction. So no matter how they take methamphetamine, it's got to go through the bloodstream. It doesn't matter if they inject it, they smoke it, whatever interesting way they come up with taking it, it's got to go to the bloodstream in order to get to the brain. Well, if our protein is in the blood and can capture it, sort of like a sponge, it keeps the methamphetamine from ever crossing the blood-brain barrier, hitting those brain receptors and giving you the high that an addict would experience. So the idea is to help them, for people that want to quit, mm-hmm. help them avoid those weak moments from getting that reinforcing event.
You both have mentioned just what a layperson might think are fantastic. You know,
it's the stuff that's happening now.
And that's, yeah. And you say now, I mean...
yes. And the next thing on the genomic side is, and I think people are seeing this already on the advertisements, that these cancer centers, when you come in and you've got a particular cancer, they're going to sequence the genome of that cancer to find out what genes are mutated. Because when we understand that, then they can design the chemotherapy. Whereas in the past, you came in, you've got colon cancer metastasis to the lung. They look up and say, well, you try this, and if that doesn't work, then you try this.
Sort of a scattershot approach.
Through trial and error,
right.
They have figured out that this is the most likely drug to work on that particular kind of cancer. Now, when there are programs to sequence the genomes of thousands of different cancers, and they're seeing the patterns now. And we can now say that very soon for, say, third-stage melanoma, some people respond to treatment, some don't. Now we know from genome sequencing why. So we're not going to waste anybody's time, not to mention the uncomfortable treatment, when we know that particular drug isn't going to work.
Let me comment real quick,
yeah.
Because I would get the same genomic information, and we would find out that, say, there's 100 different mutations. Well, that may be hard to treat in certain ways. It may be hard to find drugs that would work on that many different mutations. So now somebody from a protein-centric world might go, is there a surface protein that's mutated on just those cancer cells? And then we would develop a protein-based medication that would trick your immune system into recognizing that cell as not self and let your own immune system destroy it, but still taking advantage of the same genomic information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's out there, by the way, now. Yeah.
Dr. Ralph Henry and Dr. Doug Rhodes were at KUAF yesterday afternoon to give a preview of the next Science Cafe that's sponsored by the University of Arkansas. The event is open to the public, and it is Tuesday night from 6:30 until 8 at Powerhouse Seafood and Grill in Fayetteville.
Earlier this year, the University of Arkansas Fort Smith announced they will begin to offer graduate degrees in the fall of 2015. As that campus continues to grow, earlier this week, UAFS said 5 new fields of study will soon become options for students and prospective students: certificates in robotics and sales, and degrees in international business, finance, and general studies. Ozarks at-large's Christina Thomas spoke with Georgia Hale, interim associate provost for academic affairs and dean of the School for Applied Science and Technology at UAFS. Christina began by asking about the first new program, a certificate of proficiency in robotics, which refers to robots used in a manufacturing setting.
A lot of the jobs in manufacturing now are being done by machines, and we have to have someone who can program it to do whatever you want it to do. A lot of it is pick, place, or pack, but either way, it won't be doing the same item every time, so we have to be able to program it to do whatever the industry people need it to do. So we'll be training people to be able to program it. It will be basic enough that we're not training them to do a specific thing, but just training them to program it to do whatever it needs to do at the time.
You're programming something to do something, so there are computer skills that are involved.
Oh, it's technology-based, absolutely.
Yeah. How is the University of Arkansas Fort Smith able to do this?
Chancellor Barron was instrumental in helping us get funding to buy the robots because they're quite expensive, but we put together a proposal telling him the need in the state, in the region, and actually on a national level for technicians who can maintain and program robots for business purposes. And he took that proposal and got money at the state level to help purchase it, and also approached ABB with the same information, and they were instrumental in giving us 2 robots to go along with the ones that we had gotten funding from the state to purchase. And with that comes also training for the faculty who will be doing the teaching in the programs. So we have 4 faculty members whom we will send to Michigan during spring break and during the summer months to get certified to train in robotics.
You mentioned that there's a need regionally and in the state and nationally. What is that need?
Well, we did some research on it, and I found a source, several sources, but one said that in 1 month there were 6,000 jobs posted needing someone with robotics training, and that's on a national level. That was a national source that I looked at. And then we looked at the state just to see what industries in the state are using robotics, and we found that 25, 26 companies in Arkansas use ABB robotics exclusively, which means that there are others who probably use something besides ABB robotics. And we also looked at the companies that we do business with here in the region and found that we have 21 companies in the Fort Smith metropolitan area that uses some kind of robotics in their companies.
Well, I know that one of the other certificates that you'll begin to offer is in professional sales.
Right.
Is that something that you had heard from students and people that were interested in attending UAFS?
Well, actually, it was another one of those where we did some research and found that more than 50% of new graduates, new college graduates, their first job is in sales. We looked at the people who had graduated from programs here at the university and found that a lot of our graduates, their first job right out of college is in sales. They'd probably be better at it if they had some training in professional sales, because a lot of people just go out and get sales jobs and don't really have any training in that area. And it's a service to the students, actually, where they can take the classes. And it's going to be offered in the College of Business, but it's not just for College of Business majors. It's just that the College of Business faculty were the ones who did the research on it. But it's for anybody, because they don't just hire business majors in these positions. It's any student with a college degree.
Well, I know when I graduated from college 10 years ago that a lot of people went into pharmaceutical sales.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you're a biology major. Maybe you're getting your degree in biology, but this professional sales, but these classes could help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And it'll be an interactive, these will be interactive classes where they'll be videotaped, they'll get feedback, then they'll tape again and get more feedback to perfect their selling techniques. And then they'll also have a portfolio that they can take out with them when they go out and interview for these jobs.
Well, going back to my undergraduate degree, I know that you'll be offering three new degrees soon, and one of those is international business.
Right.
And my undergraduate degree is actually in international business from the University of Arkansas here in Fayetteville.
As long as we have students who are going to go to work in global businesses, I think that we can't have, if we have the business program, then the international business should be a part of it, if there's demand for it. And we do have a demand among our students here.
Well, I know global business it was growing 10 years ago, and it just continues to grow and grow.
And the thing about it is, businesses that some of our students will go to work for, they won't even realize that they're global in scope.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of our small businesses will still do business with a larger business that has a global presence. So, and it gives them the opportunity to advance. They may start in a small business, but get recruited into a larger business. So they go with some background in dealing with international relationships.
I know that you'll start doing finance as well, but one that I'm interested in learning more about is a degree in general studies.
Yes. That and it's, if you know anything about interdisciplinary programs, that's what a lot of schools call them, where the students come out and they have a concentration of so many hours in two or three different areas, subject matter areas. For example, business may be one of them, and social sciences might be one of them. Those are two that we have as options for the students. And what we've done is we've put that one in place to accommodate students who try a major. For example, some students go to school saying, I'm going to be a doctor.
Right.
And then they take the freshman or the general ed classes and start getting into the major and realize they don't have the science background nor the math background to be a doctor, but they've accumulated a number of hours. And rather than leaving them kind of floundering, wondering what are they going to do now, this is an option for them. Not saying this is one that the only option, but it is an additional option for them so that they don't drop out or stop out or end up going someplace else when this is where they want to be.
Right. So not that those hours were wasted.
No, absolutely not.
But yeah, this just gives them, another route to go.
Right.
When can students and prospective students in the community expect to see these new options available?
They will be available in fall 2014.
All of them?
Mm-hmm. All of them will be.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Hale. I don't believe I have anything else.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blue Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday night, and we've got about the happiest blues you'll ever hear. Keeping a Valentine's Day type theme in mind, a couple of those come from Joe Louis Walker's new CD called Hornet's Nest. The Generic Blues Show, every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
This is Ozarks at Large. It's Valentine's Day, and couples throughout the region will spend the day, and for some this weekend, celebrating in their own unique way. You may decide to show your sweetheart you care with a bouquet of flowers, a box of chocolates, or perhaps with a serenade. With that in mind, we invited local singer-songwriter Shannon Wurst to the Furman Garner Performance Studio earlier this week to talk about love songs. During our conversation, I asked Shannon how she approached the process of writing a love song.
I certainly saw that there was a need to have love songs. When I started out, I was singing a lot of bluegrass, which unfortunately involves a lot of murder ballads, and I was giving a lot of requests to sing at people's wedding or for special occasions, and I was finding I didn't quite have the material that felt like a good fit for the event. So, yeah, like you said, love songs are very important. So I like to think about love in different ways. I think it's pretty easy to think about it in the context of a really wonderful relationship. But there's so many other love songs to also be written about, you know, family members or just love for certain objects or certain areas. So I think it's important in love songs to expand our thoughts of love.
What makes a good love song? Is there a good formula to follow to make that perfect love song?
Oh, there's probably a lot of song formulas out there, but probably the best love songs are ones that are just totally from the heart and meant to be felt by somebody in particular. And I think that the best thing about writing the love song is that process of writing it and not so much the end result. Sometimes you write a love song and it might not affect anybody like you wanted it to, but the process of creating that song is the love part of that song.
When you go to write a love song, I mean, do you set out with the intent of writing a love song? Do you say, you know, especially with the snowy weather and being kind of trapped inside, and sure, that's plenty of time for you to write songs. Do you sit down and think, okay, today I'm going to write a love song? Or is it more just it kind of feels right or comes to you?
It happens in different ways. I have definitely sat down and tried to write a love song, and then it didn't work out, and it turned into some other song that as I was writing it, I found some interesting turn of phrase or a hook or something, and it went in that direction. I feel like a lot of songs, when you sit down to write them, whether you think they're going to be a love song or not, there's some sort of love stringing through there. It's kind of like watching movies. You'll see that a lot in movies, how in some form or fashion, it always comes down to love.
Do you have a favorite love song either to listen to or maybe to play as well?
Well, my favorite love song to play is a song that I recorded on my last album called Here in Your Arms. And it's pretty much that, just the simple thought of enjoying being in somebody's arms.
Well, do you want to play a love song for us?
Well, I should. Yes, I would love to.
Well, what are you going to play for us?
I'll play Here in Your Arms.
Is buzzing and it's time to get up and join the working world. Why we gotta make a living instead of loving? Lord, I'll never know, 'cause I'd rather stay here with you, even in a cold room. These flannel sheets and baby, your heat is all I need to stay home. I like it here in your arms. I like it here in your arms. I like it here. Baby, here in your arms. Well, it seems to me I've lived some lives just roaming around this world. Buena Vista to Birmingham, red eye fly to France. It's crazy to say your love's the way, but oh, I like it best. But the popcorn's popping and we're pillow talking. It's my kind of romance. I like it here in your arms. I like it here in your arms. I like it here in your arms. Oh, my head's in the clouds, but my feet are on the ground, baby, here in your arms. Now I've done some loving and I've done some leaving, put miles on my heart. I wouldn't take it back, 'cause I like where I'm at, here in your arms. I like it here. Clouds.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now that's a song off of your most recent album, Lionheart Love. And I think that was the last time we had you in here. It was about a year ago to talk about that album. What have you been up to in the last year?
Oh, it's been a really fun year. I've had a lot of diverse musical experiences, which I've really loved. So I've been touring in support of the album. So I've gotten to go to the East Coast and several times out west this last year. I've also gotten to do lots of children's shows and songwriting workshops through area schools and what else? Oh, I've done the Prison Story Project this year, which was such great fun, and all kinds of fun stuff coming up for this next year. So that's the part I really love about being a singer-songwriter is it's really a diverse tasks that we get to do every day. It's not just performing, which I totally love performing, but you also really get to create these fun venues for yourself and work with a lot of different people, including Fun Bags here in Fayetteville,
Arkansas. I was going to say, I saw you with Fun Bags last month.
Yeah, it was so fun. They're a talented group, so I was happy to collaborate.
Yeah, and then will you continue playing music for the improv group, or was just kind of like a...
Well, it was a one-time-only thing, but they're doing this really cool thing where every month that they perform, they're bringing in a different local musician.
And I think it's Candy Lee this month?
That's right. And, I think she's going to be great with them. So I love what they're doing. I think it's a wonderful idea and a great way to collaborate with different artists around here.
And haven't you done something with the Walton Arts Center, the Bear State of Mind?
Yes. It was my debut as a baby bear cub.
You were a baby bear cub.
It was really fun. I learned a lot from that experience. It was my first time as a baby bear cub, as a matter of fact. But, I wrote the music for the program called Bear State of Mind, but I was also puppeteering in the program. And I got to work with some really great people there at the Walton Arts Center. And, it was good. We did a lot of shows for young audiences, and I think it was very well received.
Yes, and I understand right now there's something coming up for you involving a can of chili.
Ooh, I knew you would mention that. Yes.
I had to.
Yes. Well, I'm happy to announce that I'm going to have my face on the side of a can of chili, Vietti Chili. I'm there. They have a wonderful program called Vietti Vinyl.
Oh.
And so they have different artists, and they feature them on the side of the can. They also have the website, ViettiVinyl.com, and you can go and hear different artists that are also featured on the side of the cans, just like myself.
So did they approach you, or is this something you, apply for?
We've been in correspondence for a few years now, actually. They had contacted me a little while back, and it hadn't happened, and there's a lot of paperwork and stuff involved.
Sure.
So it just has just now came to be, but it's going to be fun, and I can't wait to let you know when you can rush out to your local grocery store and purchase your own can of Vietti Chili with my face on the side of it.
Yes, and Shannon will be there smiling at you at your dinner table.
Right.
I love it. Some other big news, the Fayetteville Roots Festival announced the lineup last week, and you're always heavily involved in that. Is that true for this year as well?
Well, I don't know my official position this year at the Fayetteville Roots Festival, but I am so excited about the lineup. I usually do a lot of backstage managing as well as performing, and so it's always an honor to get to work with all the different artists that come into Fayetteville.
Yes, so we're always very grateful to have you backstage, and I appreciate the dance lessons, even though I'm hopeless.
Oh, you are not hopeless? Not at all.
But thank you for that. Is there anybody that you're particularly excited about hearing? I know we always talk about performers, but as a performer, is there someone that you're excited about seeing?
Well, Lucinda Williams, of course, is always a favorite of mine. I'm fortunate that she comes here, or has in the past came here quite a bit, so that I've seen her. But I think it's always great for a singer-songwriter like myself to be able to see the things that she's done in her career. So, I'm looking forward to seeing her again.
And musically, I know people can see you on the river. This sounds really interesting. Do tell me about this.
Yes, you should go. I'm going to kidnap you and make you come with me. And for the second year in a row, I'm doing a Green River trip and also a Yampa River trip. This is out of Dinosaur National Park. And I'm partnering with a company called Adrift Adventures. And I used to work for this company. I was a river guide for several years. And so when I started playing music full time, I was trying to think of summer gigs basically for myself, and so I had the idea of combining my first love of being on the river and whitewater rafting with music. So I approached the company to see if they'd be interested in having me do music every evening for their multi-day trips. So last year was our first year, and we had a full trip, and it was just the biggest time. It's, of course, beautiful scenery, great whitewater, great food, good company, and then I got to do a concert each night as everybody was going to bed, kind of singing everybody nice little soft lullabies to bed. So we're going to do it again this year. We're going to launch June 14th is our first date. Mm-hmm. That's going to be on the Green River. Then we're doing another trip on the Yampa. And that's going to be June 27th.
Okay. Well, something to look forward to there. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Have you done any whitewater rafting?
I've never done it, but I want to. I hope to this summer, actually. In fact, I've been talking to some friends about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I think
I should go here. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. It's really fun. It's a great way to really disconnect, too, from our electronics.
Yes.
And, like, it's a really good restart.
Yeah.
I noticed that certainly in myself. I feel totally different coming off a trip like that where you haven't been like on your phone or mm-hmm. checking email. It's really a great way to decompress and relax. So it's always a good time.
Well, could you play us a song maybe relating to the rafting or the river?
Well, I do have a little love song about a river.
Okay.
I'll share with you.
And what's it called?
River.
I like it. Easy enough.
I have wandered over this countryside. Falling in love feels like a million times, but there is one sure as a sun, steady as rays, true as it do when the day's begun. All the mountains give me strength, all the forest give me peace. So oh, it's you, oh, it's you, river I need. I told the timber I'm tired of falling for you. I told the wolf deep in the night I ain't calling to you. Ooh, every cry, every crooked creek flows from the source straight to the heart of what's truly me. All the mountains give me strength, all the forest give me peace. So oh, it's you, it's you, river I need. All the mountains give me strength, all the forest give me peace, all the mountains strength, forest give me peace. So oh, it's you, oh, it's you, oh, it's you, oh, it's you, oh, it's you.
That was Shannon Wurst inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. She stopped by earlier this week. For more information about Shannon's music or her rafting trip this summer, visit Shannon Wurst, that's WURST.com.
There's a lab at Harvard where Professor Dan Gilbert studies happiness, which means people ask him all the time.
Hey, Doc, what's the secret of happiness?
So what is it?
Well, let's just think about it for a moment. Is there really a possibility, A, that it's a secret and only I know it, and B, that it's a secret at all?
Decoding Happiness, that's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Listen Sunday at noon to 91.3 FM.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Hartford.
Where's Hartford?
Hartford is in Sebastian County, south of Fort Smith.
That's right.
And to be fair, it's not H-E-A-R-T-ford, but I thought Hartford for Valentine's Day would work.
We'll let it go.
Yes. Speaking of Valentine's Day.
Yes.
We asked for a Valentine yesterday on Ozarks at Large.
That's what I hear.
And it's in connection. You just heard Shannon Wurst. And so one of the things we're giving away is Shannon's latest CD, along with four movie passes to any Malco movie theater, four tickets to see the HD showing of the production of War Horse. It's on stage, but it'll be an HD production.
That's also at Malco, right?
Right, and that's on the 27th, I believe. And we also have four tickets, two adults, two children, to see the Trike Theater production of The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yes, so nice package.
Nice package, yes. And we asked someone to write a Valentine for Cupid, because Cupid works...
Oh, so they had to work for it.
Yes.
Okay.
Cupid works all day today. This is his busy day, but does he ever get a Valentine?
That's a good point.
So, we have a winning entry.
We do. This is from Vanessa Jackie Davis. Roses are red, violets are blue. Love is all around us because of you. With your quiver of arrows and small though mighty wings, you find the willing hearts for whom love rings. And though your tender targets know not of your arrival, the sweet sting of your gift is utterly delightful. Thank you, dear Cupid, for the love work you do. When your day is complete, may your heart be warmed by love, too.
Ah, very nice.
Well done. Thank you, Vanessa.
And Vanessa, we will be... And she actually even sent her address.
She did.
Thank you very much for that. We will send you your winning package today in the mail. Thank you very much. Last night, I went to the 50th anniversary celebration for Youth Bridge.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was splendid. There was a trivia contest with everyone who...
Oh, fun.
Yes.
I always like when you can participate.
Yes. And it was one of those, like, you do at a bar, the questions are answered up on a big screen. And
you have, like, a clicker.
Right. And the faster you get the correct answer, the more points it's worth.
Oh.
So that was a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on 50 years, and here's to another 50.
Exactly. Exactly. And baseball begins this weekend?
I'm hoping to get it in a game this weekend. We'll see. It's supposed to be really nice weather, so that really makes me want to go.
It starts today's first day of Division I baseball, but Appalachian State in town for Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon games all weekend long.
So that's my plan. Get out there at some point. At least get outside.
60s this weekend.
I know.
Very nice.
I know. It's really nice. I'll be interested to see if we can finally get rid of all of the snow. There's still, like, you know, the huge chunks where people cleared out parking lots.
Right.
So it's kind of a game for me to see how long it stays there.
That's so funny because I have been doing that since I was like 8 years old. What will be the last clump of snow left? And last night, you know, when I woke up this morning, I got up pretty early this morning, and I don't think it barely went below freezing. I think we had melting all night. I think, not to say we won't have another cold snap, maybe even measurable snow.
Sure.
But it does feel like spring is really kind of...
You probably jinxed us by that. I hope you know.
Sorry about that. You'll be with Christina Sunday morning.
I will.
For Weekend Ozarks at Large. Thank you for doing that.
Sure. Happy to fill in. And then I will be all by my lonesome on Monday.
That's right. A brand new show that will begin at noon. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I'm going to go see Good People from Theater Square tonight as well.
Sounds wonderful. Have a great weekend.